You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Coco, Florida. We're on AM 1510. Our dial is WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7. And we're also heard on the World Wide Web.
Well, that would be at 1510wwbc.com. And on the that's on the internet. Again, 1510-1510. WWBC.com, and you can download the app WWBC either in the Google Play Store or in the App Store. We're also now, we are up to 50,000 watts on the AMs. So now you can pick us up really from near Daytona to near Fort Pierce on the AM station.
Wow, that's
awesome. Greatly increasing
our
signal. Yes.
Yeah, no wonder we get so many emails and texts and stuff from people all over the place.
Sometimes in the evening, I hear back from Sweden and Poland picking up the AM station.
Yes, we had somebody listening recently from Ireland. Yep. Yes, it was wonderful. So we sit here every Monday for an hour, and of course, sometimes a little more than that. And we speak about kitchen table topics, things that are going on right here in the United States, in Brevard, around the world. And we chat and visit, and I tell you, Paul, we have such a good time that sometimes you have to chase us out of here.
Usually.
Yeah, and we do miss Ellen and Samantha. We wish them well. They're both doing stuff today. But I'm so grateful that my friend Allie Kumara is here. Allie, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And Allie brought with her a friend that I've had on the show before, Mr. Drew Warren.
Hello, nice to be here.
Thank you so much. And you are the executive director of Community of Hope.
Yes,
and boy, you know what? Where there is hope, where there's life, there's hope. And you could say when there's hope, there's life as well.
Yes, ma'am.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And so we have an action-packed show. Allie and I recently met at one of my favorite groups, the American Business Women's Association. And Allie came up to me and she says, I think I know your daughter, Jasmine. And I said, really? And then she started telling me about herself, and it turned out that Allie grew up in Tortoise Island, mm-hmm. where I raised my family and just left there a few years ago. And I always liked your mother because she was all about meditation.
Yes.
And when you said Allie Kumara, I remember you very well. So before we go to a call and guest, Allie, I just want to say thank you for reaching out to me, and thank you for coming on the show today.
Absolutely.
Paul, we've got an action-packed show in that I have a lady who's calling in. Her name is Jennifer Forst. She has nearly 20 years of institutional investment, developmental finance, and international private equity experience. She's a founder and managing partner of Forst Global Partners. And she's calling in. I forgot to ask her where she's calling in from, Paul. But we'll find out in a minute because I think she's already on the show. So, Jennifer, thank you for calling in. I know we're going to have a great discussion today about finding focus in ADHD.
Hi there, Sita. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
You're beautiful. You know what? We're just looking at your picture, and I just passed your bio around. I was giving it. Both of my co-hosts were unable to be here today. Ellen and Samantha, and so I just gave your biography to my friend Drew Warren to read, and we're like, wow, you are really involved in numerous projects. So we're going to just let you talk to us a little bit about yourself and what you do so our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends can find out.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Sita. I appreciate the opportunity to spend a little time with you today. So to an earlier question you had, I live in the Washington, D.C. area, in fact, kind of in the Northern Virginia area, and I've been here now for nearly actually 20 years, which is, I know that dates me, it's kind of hard to believe, but my background has been in kind of investment banking and international development finance. So I've spent quite a bit of my life traveling, based in the D.C. area, but mostly in kind of emerging markets all around the world. And so traveled pretty extensively, worked for the U.S. government. And then after many years of doing that, decided that I wanted to have a family and I wanted to settle down a little bit, and married a wonderful man in D.C., and now we have three young kids. And so I started my own group, Faust Global Partners, as a way for me to continue in my field, but also to have a little bit more flexibility over my schedule. And I'm pleased to say that it's worked out. It's worked well.
Yeah, and you also studied a bit in London, England. So you have a bit of culture. You learn a lot.
I did. I loved it. In fact, I told my parents I was only going to go over there 1 year to get my master's degree at the London School of Economics, and I couldn't leave after 1 year. I ended up starting my career and spent a total of about 3-4 years there before coming back to the States.
Yeah, I found myself in London a few years ago, and I did say to my husband when I returned home to the States, I said, I wonder if I'd gone to London when I was 18 years old instead of coming to the United States, if I would have stayed in London.
Yeah.
Because there's something about that place that it like every way you turn is something. Yeah. It's culture. And I felt like I belonged there, you know. But anyway, so you're also an attorney, I read.
Yeah, so I do that, and I mostly now I've kind of pivoted more towards kind of the banking and the finance side of things. And but yes, I've spent some time too in that field, and now kind of in my spare time, which I put in air quotes because it's hard being a working mom, but I've been working on some things to support my kids and the ADHD community through Finding Focus.
Yeah, I joined your Facebook group, and I'm amazed at how much time and effort and energy you put into ADHD and Finding Focus. And for listeners who are tuning in, I hope everybody who listened today understand that if you really want to do something, you can do so. You just have to apply yourself. And I'm amazed. So tell us your family story and your journey and how you got involved in Finding Focus.
Oh, well, thank you. So, you know, if you would have told me a few years ago that this is something that I was going to be spending my free time with, I wouldn't have believed it. But as I mentioned, I'm the mom of three kids, and my oldest boy is 12, and then I have twin boys who just recently turned 9, and I've been very involved in their education. And so I could see a few years ago that a couple of them in particular were kind of struggling. And at first it was hard to tell, you know, is it just kind of, you know, a young, active boy who has a hard time, you know, in more of a traditional school setting, or was it something more at play? And then I could kind of see in first and second grade that there were some more issues. And, you know, kind of long story short, recognized that they needed to perhaps be tested. And sure enough, they both have ADHD. And so I, to be fair, I didn't know much about it. I knew what I did know was very surface level and cliche-y or generalizations probably. And so I kind of then started putting in some of my extra time into understanding better what ADHD is and what it's not, and the best ways to work with kids. And to your point too, Sita, you know, the Finding Focus I started just earlier this year. I was a parent that was out there trying to educate myself on it. And to be honest with you, there are so many materials and it's overwhelming. And I saw that there were many people, many parents and caregivers of ADHD children that, to be honest with you, were really hurting and struggling, and felt that maybe because I my personality and because of some of the resources I had, maybe I should try to put together like a virtual online, you know, support encouragement group, because so many people with COVID could no longer connect and, you know, at school and help one another. And I've been so pleased at the outpouring of support that I've had.
Well, you throw people a lifeline. You know, we were just saying on the show just before we went on air that the universe is lined up in such that you get back what you give out, right? And so when you give of yourself and you see there's a need in the community for something and you do it, people gravitate towards you. And a lot of people have those ideas to have a nonprofit or to have a group, but they just don't know how to do it. And you had the expertise, and like you say, you were able to do it. But can you give us an overview of what ADHD is? Because sometimes people call it ADD. Now, I know that I have 18 brothers and sisters, and I swear every disease that there is on planet Earth, I think we had it. But because we had the lack of resources, and because my parents were not educated, and the list could go on why all of us were undiagnosed. I can't say we were misdiagnosed because we were never taken to a physician ever. But tell us the difference, because people, you know, they say ADHD, or they say years ago it was referred just to as ADD.
That's correct. No, absolutely. And I think and growing up, that was predominantly to what I called it or heard, right? It was all kind of called ADD, which is attention deficit disorder. And then they kind of came up with ADHD, and people would use both terms. And now my understanding is that the medical community has kind of shifted to the bigger umbrella of ADHD for all of it. And so now it's just considered ADHD. That it used to be that anyone typically with ADD had the H in there somewhere, but perhaps it just wasn't well identified. So, you know, ADHD stands for attention deficit disorder, attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder. There are three main kinds of ADHD. You have, on one hand, you have your hyperactivity. On the other side, you have, you have kind of the it's more of kind of, how do I say it? I'm missing the word right now, but it's kind of the inattentive. That's what it's called, the inattentive ADHD. And then in the middle is kind of the combined type. So when they diagnose kids, or even they diagnose adults, in fact, what's so been fascinating, Sita, through this journey is I've been talking to so many different parents and caregivers of children with ADHD. To your point earlier, many people have been diagnosed themselves for the first time when they've been dealing with their children's diagnosis, and which I certainly found fascinating, that it was, they recognized it in themselves when they saw it finally in their children. But so people have one of those three types: the hyperactivity, that's hyperactive, another type that's inattentive, and then in the middle, which is a combined type. It's a spectrum. So
yes,
that's the other thing to consider. It's a spectrum. So,
and you know, while you're speaking, what's coming into my mind is I remember growing up in a small village in Trinidad and Tobago, and how many children went undiagnosed with this ADHD, and people saw that as a behavior disorder, and a lot of children would get spanked. Their parents would put them in a corner. And I remember that now. And as you're speaking, it's coming into my mind that what you're doing, I hope one day it goes worldwide, because there's so many people that need this type of education.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And I think that's been one of the things, as I've gone around and in particular have been trying to talk with educators, and even too with parents that have really opened up and shared some pretty heartbreaking stories. Is that ADHD is not a behavioral issue, and people certainly do. And there are, in particular, certain communities that, like you just said, you know, spank it out of the kid, or, you know, the problem is the kid's not being obedient. You need to discipline this out of them. And it's not a behavioral issue. It is a very complex neurological disorder. And it's one of the most common, if not the most common, neurological disorders for children. They expect about 1 in 9, 1 out of 10 kids. So I tell educators too, you need to understand when you start school in the school year and you look at your classroom, a couple kids in there have ADHD. Whether it's diagnosed or whether it's not. And the key is that early diagnosis, like anything, is vital. And with the right support and encouragement, these kids go on to do amazing things. If you take the time to Google ADHD, and people, you'll see, honestly, Sita, some of the world's biggest and brightest entrepreneurs and musicians and artists, they have it. It's actually a skill, but traditional education is not very kind to that type of a student.
You know, my friend Allie Kumar is here, and she has a question for you.
Yeah, hi. This is Allie.
Hi there.
You. How's it going?
Thank you for sharing your story.
Yes. So, quick question. So, like most brain-related issues, a lot of times there's a spectrum that exists, and I was just wondering if you know that spectrum and if you can elaborate a little bit on that spectrum.
Sure. No, absolutely. And that's exactly it is a spectrum between it. And so I kind of put on two ends of the spectrum. You've got, say, to the left, you've got inattentive, and to the right, you have your hyperactive, and then somewhere in the middle is a bit of a combined type. What's also fascinating, and I've seen this even in my own family's life, is that you can have people within the same family unit that have two different kinds. I have one child that is very much so more leaning towards hyperactive and another one that's much more leaning towards the inattentive. And why that's the case, I don't know. There are no, you know, two common, you know, no two kids or people have the exact same, you know, kind of case. And that I think also then can really make it challenging to diagnose and to support, because there's just not a one-size-fits-all answer. But it's definitely a spectrum, and I think parents and caregivers and educators need to understand that.
So we just want our listeners to know who we're speaking with. We're speaking with Jennifer, is it Faust, right? I hope I said it correctly.
Yep, Faust.
Jennifer,
yes,
and
right.
She's the founder and managing partner of Faust Global International, I have to say. And plus, you're doing all this stuff with ADHD. So, you know, as you're speaking and we're talking about ADHD, I'm remembering that my mother, because she had all those kids, almost 18 of us, she would always, you know, put her hands together and say to God, she'll say, Lord, give me patience and courage with all these children, because I just don't know how to cope. And I do think one of the things you touched on with the children, with people who are not diagnosed as yet, is having patience and being able to listen and get an education and give love and pay attention, because they do grow up and they go on to do great things. But how do you get more people to become diagnosed? I mean, how is ADHD diagnosed, and when does someone take a child in or a person in to see a doctor?
Right. Well, and part of the reason why I found and trying to focus is for us to normalize a little bit more the discussion around it. I think there are still a lot of people that live a little bit, whether they're just not certain what's going on, or if they do, like a lot of things having to do with, right, the brain and mental conditions, that there's a stigma around it. And so one of my goals is to talk very, very openly about it. The good, the bad, and the ugly of it, and to try to, I know I've had to do a lot of educating myself. The more you understand anything, I think the greater empathy and understanding that you have, and the more you can address the situation. So I certainly hope by doing Founding Focus and spending time with you, Sita, that I can get the word out there to parents and to recognize some of these things so that they do go in to be tested. Now, to your point about testing, one of the other challenges about ADHD, and similar to a lot of other issues with the brain, is the fact that there's no simple, easy test. You can't just pinprick somebody or, you know what I mean, run them on a treadmill and decide, okay, that's it, they have it. It's much more of, you know, a subjective round of tests that you need to do. And so it's working with your pediatrician often is the first step. And then it could be that your child needs kind of a further evaluation. Some of the problem, too, is that as you go further in the diagnosis, sometimes cost can be associated with it. And that is one of the things I think that concerns me, is that there's no doubt that people in certain, you know, socioeconomic backgrounds have more, you know, not only have the financial resources, but better medical care to try to to try to support and get the help that they need.
Yeah, and that seems to be an issue, not just in diagnosing and treating ADHD, but in so many aspects of healthcare. In mental health, we see that a lot as well. But, you know, I've often heard people say that boys are affected more from ADHD.
Yes.
Yeah, even my brain is going back to when my kids were little and they're and their friends' parents would say, I have my son on Adderall because he has ADD. You know, they never had the H back then. But does it affect boys and girls equally? Does gender play a role here?
Yeah, you know, so it does. I mean, gender definitely plays a role. I think more boys are diagnosed, and I think often you'll see them being diagnosed more with hyperactivity, ADHD. You know, it's those boys that just can't sit in their seats, and they're kind of wild and move around a lot, and certainly some of that is true. But what you do find is that girls are often underdiagnosed, and I think probably just gender stereotypes are at play. And it's often the girl that's a little bit perhaps more dreamy, that is less focused on things. And so what you often find, unfortunately, is that a lot of girls go underdiagnosed, and that it's not until they're a little bit older, perhaps even, you know, out in their profession, or a lot of them, I've read stories about they almost get diagnosed when they themselves start having children and they have those demands of just the busy life of a family to take care of. So, you know, ADHD affects both. It should be about 50%, but it's just that more boys get diagnosed with it.
Yeah. And, you know, do they ever outgrow ADHD?
Yeah, you know, so there's a feeling within the medical community that there is a percentage, call it maybe 20-30%, that do with time outgrow it. That, you know, your brain doesn't stop fully developing until you're in your middle 20s. And that's also why, for example, you can't rent a car until you're 25, 26.
Yeah,
you know, that
that's
you're,
true.
Yeah, which is interesting that there's a relationship that's there. You know, some kids, and you know this too if you're parents, some kids are just late bloomers.
Yeah.
You know, kids develop their brain and their maturity a little bit slower. There's not a one-size-fits-all with that. And so there are a portion of kids. Your brain with ADHD is just a little more underdeveloped for your age. In fact, what they'll do, and I thought this was fascinating, but is that you separate your chronological time from your executive functioning time. So just because, for example, you've got a kid that's 16, that's chronologically they're 16. From an executive functioning perspective, that child might not be quite ready yet to take on the responsibilities of driving a car. You know, if you think about that, too. And so they normally give it until their mid-20s to kind of see who outgrows it some. I also think what happens is that kids start to develop their own, you know, coping mechanisms. They just kind of know that they have a hard time focusing in these situations, and they avoid those, or they have other things to do to help them through it. The other thing that comes into play in your 20s is that you start focusing on things that you like to do. You know, a lot of kids get through, don't like a lot of what they have to learn at school, but they're forced to do it, and it's hard to focus. And so in your 20s, you know, hopefully you've gone to school, you've kind of are starting to get in your career. So things do get better.
Yeah.
As kids
well,
get
you know,
older.
That brings me to, my mother used to tell us all the time, she would say, you know, somebody would make a comment about one of my siblings, somebody who was hyperactive or somebody who was not focused on schoolwork, or maybe you wanted to help her with housework or whatever, and she would say, look at your five fingers, and she would put up her hand and she'll say, they're not all even, not all the brains are the same, they're not developed the same. And you know, even though she had a third grade education, she really knew how to cope. Her coping mechanisms were beyond my imagination. But I've also seen where a lot of people say that if you have a dysfunctional home, it can affect your child's behavior, maybe a divorce, maybe a death in the family, maybe moving from a different country, immigration. Sometimes you leave everything you had behind and you come to a new country and you find that people can't cope. So have you seen any of those issues associated with ADHD?
You know, I haven't necessarily seen anything be like directly correlated to it. But probably what happens is that, I would imagine, but that those types of difficult situations or environments would exasperate, you know, and exaggerate, you know, anything that a child might have. So, you know, I think it's kind of what we've even seen with this pandemic, was that the pandemic has accelerated certain trends that were already kind of in place going into it. And so I kind of think of it almost that way, is that if your child's in a stressful, overwhelming, and a setting environment, any challenges they might have are just going to be that much greater if they also have, you know, some ADHD that's associated with it. The other thing is that certainly if you're having difficulties at home and stressful environments, then it's hard to put certain coping mechanisms in place to help your child succeed. So I know we're very blessed. We have a wonderful school that we work with. You know, we've put in place for our kids, you know, the right doctors, some tutoring. I'm so grateful to say we're a few years into this journey and my kids are absolutely thriving and doing so well.
Well, you know, Jennifer, when you speak, I can just see your household. It's calm. You have the resources. You're educated. And thank God you're able to take your experience, your life experience, and help other people. But, you know, oftentimes people wonder, what are the best treatments for ADHD? Because we've all heard about the medication part of it. But talk to us. We only have 2 minutes left. Paul is giving me behavior therapy and drug therapy. And, of course, can people get any kind of medical brain MRIs and things like that to help diagnose?
Right. So my understanding is that they can do MRIs, and they will show the difference between a brain that has ADHD and that doesn't. We never had experience with that, but I do think scientifically they can perform that. Right. There are kind of two main ways to address ADHD. One is through drug therapy, and there are lots of different drugs, and drug technology and efficacy has changed dramatically, you know, over the past 10 to 20 years. There's a wide range of different drugs, both stimulants and non-stimulants, which are available. And then the other side would be, I'm not going to do drug therapy, I'm just going to do behavioral therapy. And my understanding is that people that kind of do a combination of both get the best results. It's not just kind of one thing. Everyone has to try out different things that work from them. Again, there's not a great one-size-fits-all answer. And again, that's tough, and I know that's
right.
Very,
and
very
frustrating. And where can people find you? Because I know you've got the Facebook group Find and Focus, but if someone wanted you to speak at an event, because you know what I'm thinking as you're speaking, I'm like, you should be talking to every teacher in every school in the United States, because many children go undiagnosed and they're put in a corner, or they're bullied, or they're belittled, or they go home in tears and they can't do their homework because they just can't cope.
Right.
So give us your website or tell us how people can reach you, Jennifer.
Sure. No, absolutely right. No, thank you. And I appreciate this opportunity to share the story. So you can find me on Facebook at Finding Focus ADHD Families. I'm also on Instagram as well at Finding Focus _ADHD. You can follow everything there. I do either weekly or every other week, you know, they're free virtual online Zoom calls where parents and caregivers get together. We sometimes have a topic, or sometimes I just literally open it up to anybody that wants to come. It's amazing. We hear from people literally all over the country and people from all different backgrounds. And we laugh, we cry, we share resources. It's a wonderful opportunity to get some collective expertise. And honestly, I've learned the most from talking with other parents and caregivers. Even though I have great doctors, you learn the best by sharing these experiences with people that are going through it.
Well, Jennifer Faust, thank you for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today. We will share your information on our Facebook page and our website. And we will be right back on our show with the second segment with Ali Kamara and Drew Warren. Thank you, Jennifer.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County and Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begay on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard all the time, every Monday on AM 1510, or dial is WWBC, 1 FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and we are also heard on the web
at 1510wwbc.com.
And we sit here every Monday and we talk about things that are going on right here in Brevard County, Florida. We speak about issues nationally, things that are going on around the world, and we use our voice in a responsible manner to help our universe. I tell you, Paul, sometimes I'm so grateful that I am on this earthly journey called life and that I am able to use my life experience, having 18 sisters and brothers, you know, that I'm able to use the history of the women that came before me and the men and laid the groundwork for me to come to the United States from a tiny little village in Trinidad and Tobago and have a voice in the greatest country in the world.
That's right.
And I am grateful to you and our station for giving me that voice.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
So, you know, I belong to ABWA in this group, and I met my friend Allie Kamara, whose mother I used to be friends with a long time ago. And she had talked to me about coming on my show, and it's turned out that Allie is doing some wonderful things right here in Brevard County, Florida. And she's teamed up with my friend Drew Warren, who is the executive director of the Community of Hope. And we talked about hope earlier in our show, where there's life, there's hope. And I'm so grateful that they're here. Drew is the executive director, and it's a nonprofit dedicated to providing housing and housing-related services to homeless families with minor children. He earned his bachelor's degree at Stetson University, and he's a master's from right here from FIT. So I could say he's a local fella.
Yes, ma'am.
That's right.
I grew up here in Indy Atlantic, actually.
That's right. And Allie grew up in Tortoise Island in Satellite Beach, where my kids grew up, and she moved away from home. She went to L.A. She did a little bit of film production, and now she's returned home, and she started an organization called Space Swap to create positive changes in our local community. And how many times have we spoken to people that are retired or young people who have something to offer, and they don't do anything? They don't give back. People have time, and sometimes all it takes is a couple of hours per week or maybe a couple of hours per month to do something positive in our community, and they don't. So, Allie, I'm grateful that you're doing it.
Thank you so much.
So tell us a little bit about what exactly is Space Swap.
Yeah, so thank you for having me on the show today, Sita. I feel super grateful. Thanks for coming out today, Drew. And we have our girl Ellie in the back. She's also on our Space Swap team. She's recording this, so you guys are able to see the video footage later. So Space Swap is a repurposing renaissance. And we love that word repurpose because that's exactly what we're doing. We're getting people to donate clothing, and in exchange, go home with clothing that they find. So it's a way to get away from fast fashion and Renaissance, because just like the Renaissance era, we're embarking on a new age of creativity, creative activists that are fed up with the direction of this world, and they're trying to make positive change and positive impact. So Space Swap is an effort to help reduce our ecological footprint by creating a community where we can meet up, trade clothing, build confidence with some new swag, and relieve clothing that doesn't fit in your life anymore. So metaphorically, it's like you're out with the old, in with the new, my mom would always say.
Yeah. But you know what? It's interesting because so many of us do have old clothing.
Oh, yeah.
And when you look at the landfills.
Oh, yeah.
And you look what's happening with the material in those landfills and how long it's taken to disintegrate. You're like, well, wait a minute, this is a great idea because your clothes will be recycled and reused, and you're inadvertently, you're helping Mother Earth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what is the Space Ghost mission? Space Ghost. Space Swap. We live on the Space Ghost. What is the Space Swap mission?
Yeah, so it's grown a lot from a seed, and it's turned into something so much greater than what I thought it would be. So not only is it a place to repurpose and recycle our clothing and help positively impact the environment that way, but we're also giving artists a platform to come and create and inspire and have a safe space, really, where they can come and be together. So we're going to have musicians. We had a couple DJs at the first one, live painters. And on top of that, our main mission is to give local nonprofits that are much bigger than we are a platform to be seen and heard by the community and really drag attention to make it cool and hip and fun to give back to the community and to get involved in local nonprofit work.
So where are you getting your referrals for people to bring the clothing? Because, I mean, you're not only looking at vintage clothing or cocktail dresses or T-shirts and jeans. You look at every kind, any kind of clothing,
oh, yeah.
right? And then you're just giving that back.
Exactly. Yep.
So where would you, where do you reach out to people? How would you, besides being on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends?
Sure.
There's a lot of people in this county that their closets are overflowing with stuff. I know I have some stuff for you. So where do you get all the people from?
So we're spreading our information like wildfire through Instagram. If you follow space_swap on Instagram, we have, I think this morning we had around 230 followers, which is a lot because they're active followers. So on social media, you have active followers who really tune in, they get all of the information, and you have inactive followers. You know, they follow an account and they're like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
So we
have the trolls, some of them.
Sure. Yeah. We have an active following on social media as well as word of mouth. And we kind of just let people know what's going on and where they can bring the clothing, which is going to be at New Visions Full Service Nursery right across from Intercoastal Brewery in the Ogalle Arts District.
Neat. So there's so many things you could be doing with your time.
Mm-hmm.
Why this particular charity? What inspired you to start the Space Swap?
Yeah, so I think the biggest part is at the beginning of the pandemic, and even prior to that, when I was living in LA, I saw a horrific homelessness and human suffering that growing up in Tortoise Island, in a little bubble here, and God bless, I love the Space Coast, but I wasn't exposed to that type of suffering that I saw on the streets of LA, and it did something. It changed my life direction, it changed something in my heart, and it changed my purpose and kind of what I want to do in this lifetime. And that's to help people and give back. And
yeah, absolutely correct. Because I know when I tell my kids my story of me growing up back home in Trinidad, and I would say, well, you know, I had one dress. We used recycled clothing, recycled shoes. I didn't have my first pair of shoes till I was probably 10 or 12 years old. They look at me like I have 10 heads. Because in America today, children are so entitled.
Sure.
And I don't mean to say you were entitled, but I know my children was. My children certainly was.
Wasn't,
you know,
I didn't know it.
With people who paid their car insurance and made sure their college plans were paid and they had everything.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's very important for parents, mentors, people to take their children out of their neighborhoods and volunteer to other places, other nonprofits, maybe take them to a different church, take them to a camp, let them learn. You know what? I think it'd be good for people to even live in different countries, and then they would see how great the United States really is. And that brings me to Drew, who's sitting here and doing with Community of Hope. So, Drew, how did you get involved with Ali Kamara and Space Swap?
Well, it's kind of interesting. We just happened to run in a similar circle. Our circles met up, and Allie is young and bright and has so much to give. And I do some work with another charity called Ready for Life. We do a shelter program that helps the Ready for Life clientele, which are the 18 to 24 year old kids who are experiencing homelessness, oftentimes had difficult upbringings or went through foster care. And so we do a little work with them, and Allie worked with them on the first space swap event. And you know, I just got to know Allie, and I realized that she has so much to give, and she is just really what we need for the future, not just in Brevard, but for the country, is this generation to come and say, we want to change the world. We really want to do something different, and to bring these creative ideas like Space Swap to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, we all talk about getting the young people involved. I know I belong to a group called the Brevard Caribbean Association, and they are trying their best. Paul, they were here on our show recently, and the guys were talking about how to get more young people involved. And here we have Ali Kamara, who is beautiful and bright and energetic, and you bring a good voice. So how can we clone you?
Thank you. Because you guys are going to make me cry.
But you know what it is? It's like, I mean, you went to L.A., you saw the homelessness, you saw the need for people to reach out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you go for a job interview, if you don't have the right clothing, if you don't have resources to buy a suit, a pair of shoes, if you don't have, you know, people look at you, right? Because appearances is everything.
It is. It's and an so extension of yourself.
Right. And so you saw that. I mean, I know that from experience, because I know when I was a little girl, I was a little dark Indian girl that not everybody wanted to be my friend, because I come from a culture where skin color, unfortunately, was a big thing. And I also knew I didn't have socks and shoes, and I didn't have 10 cents. Back then, you could buy a soda for 10 cents. I didn't have that kind of a life. So I know how it feels when you don't have things. And I'm so grateful there's people like you that are doing it. So what can we do here in Brevard to help Space Swap?
So the biggest thing is support, either through attending or donations, whether that be clothing or funds, volunteering, sharing through word of mouth or bringing awareness via social media. And again, I mean, this is definitely geared towards a younger generation. I want to say all of our volunteers, we have about 15 solid volunteers, all under the age of 25. So, but it's growing. I mean, people of all ages are getting on board, and it's kind of like a movement, and we're really excited about that. So if you guys want to go ahead and follow us at space_swap on Instagram, we're in the process of making a TikTok, we're in the process of making a website, and we're trying to hit the social media hard, because that's how people are doing a lot of networking these days. But really just attending our events and seeing the magic in person, because I don't know about anyone else who has attended, but it feels amazing. I mean, we're going to have yoga there. We're going to have Caribbean food. We're going to have all kinds of amazing, positive things to, again, just link the community. And
I could see Drew helping you with this, because you have a lot of young people that you mentor and counsel.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about what you do and how you could get your people, the people you to link up with Ali, and how can they help her?
So what's really neat about what Ali is doing is that this whole idea of making it acceptable and almost, you know, desirable to have vintage clothing or clothing that's been used, and to be able to swap, really fits so well with what our families need. You know, we have if we serve primarily families who are homeless, and they have children. And these children range, you know, from brand new babies to 18 years old, 17, 18 years old. And it does become very difficult to clothe your family, to make sure that they have all of what they need. And I think if you not only can have an opportunity to get really nice things through Space Swap, but also, you know, to kind of change that narrative that you need to have the newest thing to be cool. And I think that's just something that the new generation, the younger generation, is really kind of spearheading, is this idea that, you know, cool comes from the inside, not from what you're wearing. And
right.
I think that's kind of a neat thing.
Yeah. And, you know, we all talk about, you know, human beings, right? We have needs. All of us have needs and wants. And one of the things we have, we want to be able to feed our families. We want to be able to clothe our families. We want to be able to house our families. And we also want to be able to educate our families, but we have to cover our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where clothes comes in. And Drew, you do a lot with the homeless.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us about the homeless situation here in Brevard, because we're hearing of families that are still living in their cars. Mm-hmm. We're hearing of, because of COVID, a lot of people lost their jobs. And thank God some of them got the stimulus. They were able to, you know, have a little change in their hand. But what are you hearing on the home front?
Well, homelessness has certainly really taken center stage in the last few months, couple of years, with COVID and people losing jobs and people not having the livelihood be consistent. We've definitely seen an increase in homelessness. And some of the programs that are right now available have kept people housed. That might otherwise have lost their housing, but they're also temporary. And so these systems that are in place to kind of bolster people and to keep people afloat aren't going to be there in another year. And it's important that we as a community come together and say, you know, in Brevard County, especially the county that put man on the moon, there's no excuse for a child being homeless.
Right.
So.
And that's why it's so important to see a young woman like Ali Kamara that's mm-hmm. taken it upon her shoulders to take her little life experience that she's had, and I know she's my children's age, to do something. So you, Ali, who else? So talk to us a little about the event itself. Tell us what to expect at Space Swap, because you have a lot of musicians, you have a lot of artists,
yeah.
you have a lot of people now. I do have boots. So set the stage for us.
Sure. Okay. Well, setting the stage.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Welcome to the theater.
Yeah.
So it's going to take place at New Visions Full Service Nursery. Thank you. Shout out to Michael Cole, who made that happen. He owns this beautiful, beautiful plot of land with flowers and beautiful string lights that will be dim with the musicians underneath for people to enjoy. And there will be a patch of land in the back for people to sort through clothing and look through the clothing. And we're going to have Drew and his team set up in a booth where you can go speak to them about Community of Hope and see what's going on with them. We're going to have our own in-house art collective that formed through Space Swap called Chaotic Neutral Collective. Ellie, who's videotaping this right now, is actually one of the co-founders of that. We're going to have Amanda Wolf teaching yoga for everyone who is inside. We're going to have DJ Cat Daddy, Von Slider, Skylar Green, Lost Sardinias, The Speed Spirits, and Kristen Warren, who actually headlined the Space Coast Music Festival. So already these artists have a huge, huge following. They're all local artists, and they're all getting involved, volunteering their time, because they believe in this cause as much as we do. So
yeah, well, you're giving them
exciting.
An opportunity to showcase their platform as well.
Absolutely.
And so of course, we need the address. And what about security? A lot of people who want to come, is it a family-friendly event?
Oh, yeah. Very
so talk a little about the address, the date.
Sure.
And parking, security, that kind of
yes.
stuff?
Yes. So like I said, it's going to be at New Visions in O'Galley Arts District. It's going to be the Saturday before Christmas, Saturday night. So that is December 18th. It goes from 4 p.m. till 9 p.m. So those should be family-friendly hours. We're not going to be serving any alcohol on the premises. So again, family-friendly. We should be having kids' clothes. So if anyone's listening, we need more kids' and babies' clothes. to be donated, as well as men's clothes, because we had predominantly female clothes, adult female clothes donated last time. 10% of all of the tickets, 10% of the proceeds are going straight to Community of Hope, and tickets will be $10 at the door.
Okay, and what about pets? Can they bring their pets?
I don't see why not.
Okay, and food? Will there be like a food, a food truck maybe?
Not a food truck. So we're going to actually have Jamaican food served for donation.
Wow.
So that will be there. We'll have NA beverages, so sodas, waters.
So if you pay the $10 at the door and you get in, do you then have to purchase the clothing?
No.
Or do you just go and get the clothing?
Just go swap it.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Drew, this is great for you guys too. And you're going to have a booth there, because I'm sure young people will come in that, you know, and the thing is, there's such a stigma attached to homelessness and mental health in this country, right? And it's so good that you're going to have a booth there so you could talk to people, right?
Absolutely.
And counsel them.
Yep, and direct them to services, because if we don't provide it, someone in the community is providing the service. The difficulty is a lot of people don't know where to turn. And so, you know, we need to kind of educate the population and make sure everybody knows, you know, where people can turn if they're experiencing homelessness or afraid of they're going to experience homelessness.
Right. It really takes a village, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So, Drew, give our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, Mr. Drew Warren, your website for someone to check out Community of Hope.
It's www.hopeofbrevard.com.
Now, did you come up with that name or did somebody else? Because I mean, it's so true. A community of hope.
Yeah.
It gives you this feeling that we're all in this together. It's all one big circle, and each of us are responsible for a slice of that to help each other.
Mm-hmm. And as your previous guest was saying, you know, when it comes to, sorry to kind of be a tangent here,
yeah,
but about ADHD, I think it's the same kind of issue all around, that sense of connection. That sense that you're not alone, that sense that you're in this together is so important. And I think that's especially the case with homeless people and homeless families. They really need to feel like there's a community that understands them, that they are part of.
Yeah, especially now when it's coming up to the holidays, right? And we put such an emphasis on the holidays. It's a family time. And people are facing such hardships right now. So many of them are wondering, am I going to have a Thanksgiving? Am I going to have Christmas presents? Would I have a tree to put presents under for my children? And so what you're doing, you're giving people a lot of hope as well. So Allie, when people come to the event, you pay the $10 at the door,
that's right,
you get in, there's a lot of clothing, people can go and swap the clothing.
Mm-hmm.
What about shoes and purses and things like that? Is it just only for material clothes or anything else?
Sure, we accept accessories as well, because everyone needs a little zhuzhing up their outfits.
Right.
So yeah, we accept accessories. And we accept it all. We're not accepting items at this time, just strictly things that you would wear on your body or be carrying around with you, such as a purse or a backpack.
So let's say somebody wants to get involved with this event, but then in the future, I think you should be partnering up with other businesses. Do you have a future ahead of you, a vision that businesses in Brevard or businesses anywhere in the United States can partner up with you to provide services, do more things, and maybe next year from having it here in Nogale, you have a bigger area? I mean, you have plans for the future, correct?
Sure, absolutely. So this is our second space swap, and we plan to do this quarterly. So we're already getting a musician lineup for the spring because we were overbooked for this one. We love the venue, so I would actually love to keep it humble, keep it in the Nogale Arts District, keep our roots planted at New Visions if Mike will have us. And yeah, I would love to link with more nonprofits in the future, of course, if we align with their morals and their viewpoints and give them a platform as well, and just keep growing and keep expanding and getting the word out. And if we decide to link up with businesses and sponsors in the future, then I mean, we would be so blessed to do so.
Are you encouraging people to wear a mask? Is it their choice if they want to wear a mask? Or, I mean, with COVID, I mean, people are asking questions, right?
Sure. You know, I believe in choice for everything.
Right.
If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask.
Because you're outdoors.
Sure.
And I'm not going to lie, I don't wear my mask because I'm boosted and I'm outside a lot. But
absolutely,
you're right. If somebody feels like, hey, I'm more comfortable wearing it, why not? So I really like what you're doing, and I think it's wonderful. But now, how do you guys get compensated? Because this costs money. Everything,
sure.
You know, we all want to do things, right? But you have to drive your car. You have to get there. You have to get a tent. You have to get people to help. How do you guys get compensated?
I've been spending my own cash the whole time so far. So it's been an investment in this dream. And I believe in it enough to, like you said earlier about putting things out to the universe and it comes full circle. I know that in the future, we'll be compensated for this work. And our goal is to be able to compensate our artists in the future through ticket sales and hopefully future business partnerships.
Well, you know, that again, that comes back to my mother used to say, you take small steps, right? Mm-hmm. Baby steps. So, Drew, I'm really, really grateful that you took the time to come on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And I'm so happy that you linked up with Allie, because it looks like it's going to be a really good partnership for you.
I think so, and I'm really happy to have met Allie and to be able to do this as well. And thank you for having me. I've been on your show one other time, and maybe twice, but one way or the other, it's always great. I appreciate you.
Well, you know what? When people right here in Brevard County, Florida, are putting our county first and our people first. And we all know that there are people who are struggling and facing so many challenges right now, not just because of COVID, but people were facing challenges and struggles before. It's just exacerbated right now. Allie, so we'd need your phone number and your website for people to contact you so that they could bring more clothing, give you some shoes, purses, donate money, time, and energy.
Absolutely.
And I think people should donate money, too. I'd like to see you grow and get bigger. Why not?
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. So follow our Instagram, space_swap, or you can email us at spaceswap.egad@gmail.com for more information. And in the future, we will have a website and everything set up. We're still in the baby stages. And yeah, we're just trying to share the abundance. And hopefully that will come full circle in the future.
And I think in the future, too, you would have more food trucks and maybe a selection of food.
Sure.
That would be good for people who bring their kids. And maybe they'll just make an evening out of it. And
sure.
Drew would get 10% back of that, too. And tell them ahead of time, 10% goes to Community of Hope.
Absolutely.
So, Paul, you know, what a wonderful show. We want to say thank you to Jennifer Faust for calling in all the way from Washington, D.C. and talking about ADHD. And thank you to Drew Warren and Ali Kumara. And I hope the event on the 18th of December from 4 to 9 at the O'Galley District is a success. And I will spread the word and Paul will spread the word. We'll do what we can. We'll be right back here next week on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.